Good morning. We are going to watch the announcements.
Good morning, Real Life Christians, your favorite times of year. And it's never too soon to start collecting. You can make a huge difference in the life of a kid just by collecting things now. You can check out this amazing website. It's called wowsupplies.com. We plan to finish this project in September, so start collecting now. They are going to sell out fast, so start collecting now. And if you have any questions at all, contact Jenny King. Thank you.
Mark your calendar plans to donate blood in our fellowship hall between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. Visit redcrossblood.org to make your appointment. Be sure to sponsor code. You can save a life. Our youth ministry, The Vine, is taking a trip to Lake Allatoona on Sunday, July 20. Student in grades 6 through 12. Our youth group would love for you to join us on this great event. Contact Noah if you have any questions.
One, two. Intro, two, three, four.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain. Shadow, your love surrounds me. For I am safe with you. So when I fight on my knees, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are against me, for Jesus there's nothing in room. When all I see are the ashes, see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. On my knees, with my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I'll sing through the night.
For us, nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the torches. You go.
Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle, the power of our God.
Almighty fortress,
you go before us. Nothing can stop
you.
Shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of
God.
So when I find out, on my knees with my hands lifted high, oh you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs,
oh God,
the battle belongs to you.
morning, everyone. As always, it's so great to see everybody here this morning. If you will, bow your heads and word with prayer with me. This day that you've given us, thank you that we can come today and learn about you and praise your name. And just sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we don't. Everything we do should be in praise to you. And today we just try and make that special. And we set aside time to praise you in worship. We praise you and we praise you through prayer. And today we're going to pray the way that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
1, 2, 1, 2. Darkness she shines as we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, God. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. No. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any. Awesome in power, our God. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is with us, stop us. And if our God is with us, then we could save us. Then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who could stand against? Then who could stand against? Our God is stronger. Awesome in power, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? Then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand us? Then what could stand against? One. Two, one, two, three, four.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Here and glory, and now revealed in you, oh Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing but a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Verse.
Didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. Sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Name of Jesus.
Instrumental.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore silence, the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of for you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You are now and forever. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What is the name of Jesus Christ, my King? What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no right for equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the King, glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Meditation this morning, I wanted to look at some of the religions in the world briefly. Have 1.9 billion followers. Their prophet is Muhammad. Allah is Arabic, the fastest growing religion in the world. Hinduism has 1.1 billion followers who worship several different gods third largest religion behind Buddhism, has 506 million followers, and they believe Buddha was an extraordinary god. They do not acknowledge a supreme god or being. Whereas, let's look at Christianity, 0.38 billion followers, and we worship Jesus Christ. One of the in religions is the other religions worship deities who are dead. We worship a risen sitting at the right hand of God, and this is supported by several scriptures. Mark 16, verse 19. Him he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Acts 8, verses 55 and 56. But being full of the saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man of God. In Romans 8, verse 34. Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather at the right hand of God, and listen to this point, and who also intercedes for us. I want you to think, give thanks for the sacraments. Please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, it is you who are sitting at the right hand of God. Accept our tithes and gifts, bless and use them for the furtherance of your work supported at Real Life Christian Church. Amen.
The church is more than just a building. It's a place where lives are changed forever. As churches grow, they often need more space. Traditional financial institutions, however, may not always be willing or able to lend money to churches. So, who can make the difference? Your church modeled their faith by pooling their resources to support the work of the kingdom. Christian Financial Resources follows a similar model. When you church, your investment earns you interest while making an eternal impact. Partner today in funding ministry. Changing lives.
Good morning. So we have a special guest with us today, and he's came back, and I don't know whether I want to give him his mic or not, but David Powers from CFR, and CFR is
I can say nice things about you.
CFR is the ministry that they financed all of our remodel. As a matter of fact, they hold our mortgage, two mortgages, actually,
yeah.
That we're paying on for this. It enables us to do work in the kingdom. Being able to have these facilities to do the things we do, like we had the car show and things of that. And Christian Financial Resources provided us with the funds to do what we do. We just pay them back. Right? So, with that in mind, Dave's going to...
Yeah, and you said earlier that today is your seven-year anniversary.
Yeah,
you didn't.
Today's my seven-year anniversary.
So congratulations on that. Yeah. Yes, that's exciting.
And David, he helped me find a retirement plan and stuff so that one day I can get out of here.
Yeah, you know, CFR has been around 44 years in ministry to partner with the local church. And the wonderful thing is in that 44 years, we've done nearly 1,000 projects at just a little over $1.3 billion worth of churches. Like real life, and it's easy to kind of look around and look at renovations and think, you know, that's what we do, which is a part of what we do. But also, I enjoy being at church always to even just say thank you, because many of you in this room have invested and partnered with CFR for some time and help us to continue to do what we do. And I was telling the First Rural Church this morning meeting in Griffin, Georgia, on the other side of town, and we were able to help them purchase a building and renovate that building, and they are in preview services. But as a new church, they're able to do that because we're able to come alongside them and help them. It can often be difficult for churches to find funding, and especially new churches, young churches, help them and fund a project like that so they can continue to grow and serve their community.
Yeah, and that's important because we wouldn't be able to do what we do here. We wouldn't be able to make the changes we've made here. Here less than a year when we started our building campaign, and David and them came alongside and kicked my honeymoon out the window. but we made all those changes, and now we are doing what we helped me find a retirement plan, and they help individuals through savings too. Let him tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah, so CFR is a great place if you are looking for a greater return on your dollars. Put it and know that those dollars are helping fund churches. Maybe you've got an old 401k, an old retirement account, you wanted to roll that over. One of the greatest tools we have right now is what we call a giving fund. It's like a charitable gift money into your giving fund, do all of your charitable giving through that. It grows at 5% while it sits there, which gives you more money to give away. Can have some great tax advantages as well. So yeah, I'm here afterwards. Love to talk to people about it, answer any questions. But we're just glad to be a partner with you guys and excited to see what you're continuing to do in this community.
Well, we're glad, so, David. I'm glad you came. I hope they'll let me stay at least seven more. We'll see about that, won't we? So David came, and like I said, I've been here 7 years today. And in those 7 years, different sermon series. And today we're going to do the last week of this If-Then series. And next week, I'm going to start a series on why we gather. And this has been a series, though, this one on the practical, logical way Jesus shares these deep truths about the kingdom in parable, and even uses this ancient tool of logic called the if-then statement. So far in our series, we've learned some pretty incredible things, like if you know Jesus, then... if you love Jesus, then you will obey and listen to his commands. And then, if the world hates you, now those were some pretty interesting and some of them pretty hard lessons to learn. But today we're going to wrap up and finish with one of the most important truths that you as a believer, if you remain in me and I in you, then you will bear much fruit, and apart from me you can do nothing. Now, how many of you have ever tried to do life? Boy, I'll tell you, I did. I tried real hard for many years. I ran from the idea of Christianity because, well, to be honest, it scared me. In the first part of my life, it led to a lot of struggles, and I struggled a lot. I mean, it led for struggles in my marriage, struggles in my life financially. Struggles all came to a head one night. On a snowy night in Virginia, it was snowing, and I walked outside in my yard barefooted and fell to my knees, and I surrendered on my own anymore. And you know what? It got better. It got a lot better. But it didn't come without more struggle. And the more I gave up of myself, the better I got. And I learned what it meant to be a disciple. And to be a devoted follower of a teacher. That's the the worldly term for disciple. And for Christians, that means following Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus. And it makes perfect sense that it is only by remaining in him, or as many translations say, abiding in him, that we would be able to produce honor to God. So I want to read from John 15. In this very familiar passage, we started this series with his passages and we're going to end with them. In the first eight verses, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. You must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And here's the fun part. Such branch, if you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you show in yourselves to be my disciples. So obviously, the main theme of this is, what does it mean to remain in Christ? What does it mean to remain in Christ? To remain in Christ would mean you are deeply connected to him. You are rooted in his love. Rooted into the vine, into Jesus, being deeply connected, that we draw our life and our strength, that is, it's where we find us. It's a picture of a relationship that is so influential and so intimate and so vital that it becomes the very source of our spiritual life to Jesus, that we find hope and power and strength. It's a powerful image that speaks of the absolute necessity to Jesus. Just as a branch can't survive or produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, we can experience true spiritual life if we're disconnected from Jesus. Ivy growing up the side of the house, and I cut it off at the bottom, and it just withers and dies. Well, the same thing would happen to your spiritual life, follow Jesus. You know, to remain, it's not a passive thing or a one-time event. You don't just connect into the vine and decide you're a Christian. It requires an active relationship. It requires consistent attention. And it's contrary to the teachings of the idea that you're eternally secure, isn't it? It's contrary. Completely without chance. Cut off from the vine. Matter of fact, these scriptures tell us it's very likely that you could be removed from the vine once you're connected. We like that because of our relatives and our friends that we know are not connected anymore and they've chosen to be out of the vine. It makes us feel good about that. But nature of their lifestyles. But it's clear that to remain takes effort. And it's not a simple prayer said in passing and an activate. And you choose every day. It involves, you know, seeking him daily through prayer, reading and meditating on his word. And it also involves having a dependence on him. Do you depend on Jesus? Really, do you? Good question. Do you really depend on him, or are you just doing it yourself? You know, you got to recognize you can't live a Christian life on your own. You know, I shared earlier in my own life that you can try to do it on your own, but you'll fail. You'll learn how difficult and discouraging it can be. A branch can bear fruit by itself, and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He says you got to have me before you can ever produce spiritual fruit or the fruit of the Spirit. You've heard those, right? I mean, we talk about them all the time. And before, and I imagine that it didn't make a ton of sense. And you said, what? What is that? The truth is, Most of us want to live abundant and fruitful lives in whatever capacity God has given us, which we can be, don't we? And then life happens. Then life happens, and suddenly we're more concerned with what we want than we are with fruit. It starts to rot, doesn't it? We start to produce fruit that, well, it might resemble fruit, but you sure wouldn't want to. Does that sound familiar? And all too often, the interesting thing is that about spiritual fruit is if we stick close to Jesus, that fruit just naturally happens. You don't even have to put effort in it. It just happens because you're so close to Jesus. The fruit is the natural outgrowth of it, and it serves as evidence that we are truly connected to Him. In the context of this passage, though, fruit refers to character and the conduct to Jesus. I mean, you know, this includes this. These are the fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians 5. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, and self-control. We all want to be those things, don't we? Except for that self-control thing. We really, you know, we don't want any part of that. Are the fruit of our service to others. Did you notice they all involve good things, don't they? Things we admire in people. It is our witness for Christ is whether or not you show these fruits or not. It's something we can manufacture or do on our own. It won't just happen because you try to do it on your own. You know, you can try to fake it. You know that old saying, fake it till you make it work out. You can fake it for a little while, but as Solomon said, be rest assured, your sin will find you out. You can fake it for just a little while, but you'll get caught. And the truth is, the fruit comes because of the life-giving sap of the Holy Spirit flow. We got to be connected to Jesus. Our role is not to try to produce fruit through our own efforts, but to remain in Christ and allow Him to produce His fruit through us. It'll be evident. And if not, there may need to be some pruning. How many of you think you need some pruning? Everybody's ready. Popular topic, is it? Jesus says that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch is more fruitful. Now think about that. It's just like growing tomatoes, which my wife is good at, I'm not. And the fruit, if you cut them off, your fruit gets bigger, doesn't it? They grow bigger and bigger fruit because you've taken off the stuff. Fruit. Pruning is the process of cutting away the dead, unproductive branches so that the plant can devote more energy to producing fruit. In our things that hinder our growth or distract us from our relationship with Christ. And you know what those can be? Sinful habits. You got any of those? Yes. Or letting go of an unhealthy relationship. Or even good things. Even good things become idols in our hearts. Sometimes you may, that becomes more important than what God wants. Charities are great. As long as it's not taken away from God. It's a necessary part of us in our spiritual growth and our fruitfulness is to be pruned. And guess what? It's probably going to involve letting go of things that we hold dear or that we've become a part of what we identify as. And all too often, our sin defines us, doesn't it? Let me let you know a little secret. Sometimes our sin runs our life more than the Spirit. Sometimes we allow our sin to determine our direction more than Jesus. And then we find lost. And suddenly we find ourselves making excuses for that lostness. And before long, the idea of letting go of that sin is so painful that we start justifying that sin. question then. Are you defined by the blood of Jesus? You have to choose. And sometimes that means you have to cut out those things that you hold dear, that you suddenly find yourself identified. Go back to your true identity in Christ. Because it's necessary. We got to learn to submit to the thing that hinders that connection with us, even if we hold it dear. Then we'll experience a greater intimacy with Christ than Jesus. But you won't find it if you're living out your own will, not His. You got to learn to trust the process and trust. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus knows better than you? Aren't you glad that He's God and you're not? Because we've got to trust the process that He will remove the things from our lives if we allow Him. So what does a true life in Jesus look like? An abundant life. It's found when we remain in Christ, and He is the source of our spirit. He even says this, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Don't you want a full life? So just a branch cannot bear. We cannot experience the fullness of life that God intends for us if we are disconnected from Jesus, can we? Our connection to Jesus is the key to living a. He promises you an abundant life, but our society tells us that He's not giving you that, He's taking away, doesn't it? Doesn't the world tell you that way the abundant life? That I can no longer do the things I want to do. Isn't that true? Isn't that what the world tells you? But Jesus says, I'm going to give you life to the fullest. And He's going to let me do whatever I want to do? No, it means I'm suddenly free not to do those things. You have the power to choose not to. You know, I've said it in the first sermon of this series, and I'm going to say it again today. Anybody who regretted living a Christian life. Have you? Have you ever? When I worked as a chaplain, and I was on the deathbed for many people who died following Jesus that regretted it. They were laying on their deathbed regretting that they were Christians, regretting that they'd lived. I've seen the other side. I've seen people go kicking and screaming because they knew they hadn't followed Jesus. I've had people tell me they would refuse Jesus right up to, and I've seen them leave this world in misery, kicking and screaming. So, don't tell me. I know what's true. Following Jesus. True life involves a deep sense of intimacy and communion with Jesus Christ. It's an intentional pursuit of a deeper relationship with Christ through prayer, through His Word, and engaging in fellowship with one another. How many of you actually know how important that is? Do you know how important it is to spend time together? When we have events and we do fellowship things and we come in here together and we can learn. Church is a beautiful gift that God gave us to help us through this world so that we can encourage each other. And you have to be involved. You have to come and do. You see, we need to have that kind of communion with Jesus in our life and His love for us. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel His presence? When things seem to be going sideways in your life and you feel Jesus' presence and it gives you strength. You had that? Hopelessness turns to hope because of the presence of Jesus in your heart. Because you know He is there. Then that intimacy with Jesus brings a sense of pet that transcends all our circumstances and enables us to face the challenges of life with confidence and hope. Matter of fact, He says, if you remain in Him, His words remain in us, and we can ask whatever we wish. Careful here. This is not a promise of unlimited material blessings. It's not a you're going to get exactly what you want, but rather an assurance that we then His desires align in us and we'll be asking for the right things. And that's important. He will provide for our needs as long as they line up with His word. You can't come in here and ask Him for something sinful and think you're going to get it. That's ludicrous, isn't it? Ask for things that line up with God's word. And as long as it's the truth, you can expect it. It's not a promise of this. And He says through these askings, through these prayers, that it is to His Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples with His. You know, as I reread that last line from John 15:8, I'm struck with the thought that our life and our bearing fruit is to prove. How do you like to have to prove yourself, somebody? Do you like that? Nope, I don't like it. But we have to, don't we? You, to get a job, you're going to prove yourself to that person that you're worthy. When you're going to get married, you have to prove yourself to your spouse that you're worthy of getting married to. Why do we think that we shouldn't have to prove ourselves worthy to God? Do you feel that way? The world asks you, and just as you are, which He does, but then He goes to changing you. And change is the key. You've got to remember, we're no longer citizens of the darkness. We're redeemed sons and daughters of the Most High King. And that should drive you to want to be better and stronger and closer than you've ever been. We're ambassadors of a great light, the witnesses of Christ. And proclaim the gospel message. So if you remain in me, bigger than the but word, isn't it? If you remain in me, and I in you, then you will bear much fruit apart from me. If. How does a two-letter word mean so much? Jesus didn't really waste any time or mince any words. You know what I've come to realize? We live in a world that lives a lie. Everything is a lie. The world couldn't tell the truth if their life depended on it. We lie about gender. We lie about everything. Accept it. We got to learn to stand on the truth. The truth. What God says is true, not what we want to be true. Jesus didn't waste any time. He was direct. Through story and parables, and we've seen in this series, He even shared deep truth with these conditional statements. He says, if this, then that. Which brings me to my favorite statement in all of the Bible. It says, if the Son sets you free, then. Do you ever felt chained up by the sins of this world? Chained up by the desires that you have chosen? Wouldn't you like to be anything worse than being tied up in addiction that you just can't break free from? That you just keep going back to. You know what I'm talking about. It don't have to be out. You can be addicted to lasagna. But you keep going. Gluttony's a sin. I've never preached a sermon on it, obviously. But. And those addictions pull you away from Jesus. Some people are addicted to themselves. Away. And they become chains that drag you down. And hold you from living the fullest life you could ever live. See, the great thing about Jesus is He's the great. He gives you the power to overcome. And as we finish up a series, I've got to ask, are you free today? Are you free in relationship with Jesus? Are you free? Or are you bound up tight? Holding you down. The weight of your sin and your addictions and the things of this world keeping you from living life to the full. Wouldn't you rather be free? You never remember that time when you were tied to a lie? I can remember one time, me and a buddy of mine, we got in my mother's pocketbook and stole $20. And we went down to the walking distance, and it just happened to be open, ran by my mother's first cousin. Well, we went in there and we spent the whole $20. We bought a couple of pocket knives to float the moon, and we went down in the creek and we spent all afternoon playing with our knives and eating and drinking, and, you know, and didn't go home for lunch because we were full of cakes and potato chips. And Mom says, "Why didn't you come home for lunch?" Well, I wasn't hungry. And we just kept talking, and she kept asking questions, and I don't know how. Today, let's choose the will of the Father. And if you've got a decision to make, make it as we stand and sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I want. Taught to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How proud grace appeared the hour I first believed. Much I've been set free, my God, my Savior. Ransom me, God, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Here at Real Life Christian Church. Now listen, there are lots of opportunities coming for you to engage in fellowship with one another. We're setting those up. Every plan some things so you all can spend some time together. And it always involves food. So we're working on a few of those things coming up. So I'm gluttony and I never will. So oh no, I will never preach on it. Somebody will have to preach it at my funeral. But believe in a real God. We have a real Savior in Jesus, and we are real people living real life and a real faith together. Do it alone. We want to bring as many people to the kingdom with us as we can. And that happens when we dismiss in this prayer in a moment and we go out and be everybody about Jesus. They will never, ever come to know him unless we share it. Somebody had to share it with you one day. Now, so let's go do that. I'll be up here for a few minutes afterwards if you need to talk to me. And hey, David's out there and he'll be glad to take your money. So,
please bow your heads. Dear God, thank you for this day and this message that we got today through Kirby, and just thank you for this time. Praise you. Just be with us as we go out into the world this week, and we be the church in your name so we can go out and we can share your message to everybody we meet. In your name, amen.
My chains are ransomed me, and like a fly.